I thank you for all those miracles that are happening there in the Ukraine. And continue to just, be that prayer, be in prayer for those situations. And for those friends that are over there, I was out to dinner with my friends, and what I wanted to share with you is that our teacher, who was our coach, who is a is an ex former Marine, and his father was high level military, and just like a military family, but very high level, and our teacher is very much a humanitarian person, and has taught us a lot, just a lot about values and human nature, and just a lot about being, even before I was even became a Christian, which, really learned a lot about having a brotherhood or a sisterhood, being a part of a team, and learning teamwork, and learning how to, be empathetic towards another fellow human being. And that at times in our training with him, this was just a high school train. I was just in high school at the time. And but this was part of the curriculum, because the curriculum was mind, body, values. And in that, we did, like, the teamwork was kind of showing us that there's going to be times when people are going to get weak-minded, weak, in their body, and how we're also going to get weak and tired, and how do we deal with that? How do we discipline ourselves, and how do we keep going? How do we tough things out? How do we not quit when the going gets really rough in life and everything? And so he would bring this all a lot of this training back to how we live our life. Well, this particular teacher, he is gone to the Ukraine. He went to the Ukraine to go and see, do his part in the world. So I'm praying for him as he goes over there as well. I just got the information just a little while ago, praying for him, and just others that I know personally that are there. So I think it's all just incredible, just incredible. And so our greatest thing is that we can pray, that we can pray. Okay? We always can pray. We can do something. We can pray. So, just gonna check some notifications here. Got some notifications going and so let's get started with our lesson. People are commenting. Okay. Get started with our lesson. Today's lesson is kind of, we're going to be talking about how God speaks. I want to ask you, how do you think that God speaks? How does God speak? Has God ever spoken to you? And how did he speak to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you knew without a shadow of a doubt that God spoke to you? Have you ever experienced that before? I know a lot of people that have. A lot of people. Well, because I've been in church for a long time, and I've been a lot of places, and I've seen God speak. I've heard the stories of God speaking to people, and people have been spoken to, and it was about my life, and they've come back and shared what God has spoken to them about me. And so, and the way that I knew that it was true is because it was just a confirmation of what I already knew. I already knew it just was a confirmation. So how does God speak? It's incredible, and the scripture that we're in is, you can note these down, is Ephesians 6, 17 to 18, and it is, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Always pray. Always, always pray. Okay? Always pray. And we're back. Okay. Well, I hope this didn't interrupt the stream. So, I had a little interruption there. That's what happens when you do a live. You have like little things that happen in your life. God speaks. We're looking at a couple of different things. I want to tell you a story. This goes back to how I got saved and how God spoke to me, okay? God didn't just speak to me once. He's spoken to me throughout my whole entire life, okay, since I was just little. And at the age of like 5 was the very first time that I remembered that he spoke. And he spoke to me in an audible voice, and I always, just kind of kept that with me, and didn't tell anyone, but I had always remembered it. And what he said to me was, there was two spirits at war, and one was evil and one was good, and there was a third voice that said, you cannot have her. She belongs to God. And that was all. It was just as simple. And the evil one left me. And so this was a day that this was the day that I and this is going to be kind of maybe gruesome if you hear this, but this is the day that I believe that the evil spirit was trying to take my life. I believe that my life was trying to be taken, because that was the day when I heard those audible voices. That was the day that I was severely burned, and I had to be taken to the hospital, and skin grafting and all kinds of stuff had to take place. Was there for half a year, and you can't tell. No one knows. Just because of the way that they did it so well. But throughout the rest of my life, I would see evil spirits, and they would try to scare me, but then a good spirit would come in, and it would, it would chase away the evil spirits. And it was if that God was calling me to him the whole time, guy trying to get me to come to him. And I always knew that that was there. And you may have felt that, and you may understand what I'm talking about. You just didn't know what in the world this was, right? You just was like, this is bizarre. What is this? Is it just me? What is it? And as I'm saying this, you're now remembering this, okay? And it's God. God, he calls us to him. He brings us, he calls out his people, and he gives us a way to find him, to come to him, to know him, to go to find a church and things like that. And I wasn't churched or anything. I did have a grand praying grandma, and I seen my mom praying. But all in all, I wasn't churched or anything. And was when I was about 16, was the next memorable time, and it was that I was in my room alone, and I had become a Buddhist at the time. Yeah, legit Buddhist. And went to the Buddhist temple and talked to the Buddhist priest, and he prayed over me, and I was a Buddhist, and I was taking out my chanting beads, and I felt this weird tug in my belly, just a pull in my belly, and I heard an audible voice. No, I called out to God, and I said, God, because I felt like that was God. I didn't know. No one told me. I just felt like it was God. And I said, God, where are you? If you were really real, where are you? And then he spoke to me audibly, and he said, there's only one God, and I am the God in heaven, right? And I knew that that was the God in heaven. So I put away that stuff. Why did I didn't know to put away that stuff. I put it away, and I never went back to it again. Okay. How did I know to do that? I didn't know to do that. It was just a feeling to do that. And so I did that. And it was not long after that, maybe a year or two. And that's when I shared with you guys previously that it was a young man that that I had a crush on at school, and he started walking me to class, and then he invited me to come to church. And that was when I first the first realization that maybe I should go to church. And so and he would also tell me about God and stuff, and tell me about Jesus and things. And that just was the start of that. But then even after I started going to church, I was this was the third time of memorable time that I was awakened out of my sleep, and God actually another audible voice called me out of my sleep to wake me up. Gloria, Gloria, wake up. And I woke up, and an audible voice said to me, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And that was Isaiah 41:10. And I didn't ever read any of the Old Testament. I only was reading the New Testament, so I didn't know anything about Isaiah 41:10. It didn't say Isaiah 41:10. It said, "Fear not." And so I went to I never went to I never would go to the women's Bible studies because I would just was young, and I was annoyed by them because I was young. I didn't want to be in all that, you know. I was young. I wanted to go to church, but I didn't want to go to like the women who stayed at home and they weren't working, they were raising kids kind of thing. There was no young people my age yet in the church. It was just a little church. So I finally went and told the pastor's wife that she was flicking her Bible, like flicking the pages, not paying attention. She didn't mean to open up that scripture, but it fell into that scripture. And I told her that in my dream previous that there was a scripture and it was underlined in yellow. So she looked down, this is, it was underlined in yellow in her Bible, and she read it. She goes, this is God. He was trying to speak to you. And so she said, next time he tries to speak, tell him, go ahead and speak, tell him what you want. And so yes. How does God speak to you? He speaks through His word, and He speaks audibly. He speaks however He chooses to speak. He speaks. He speaks to people. And many people already, you didn't even have to be churched, and you may have been spoken to by God. Because He is God, He will choose however, whenever He chooses. There was kind of a conversation going on. I was overhearing this conversation about how God speaks, right? And they were like, "What? You got to be a, or you got to be a Christian, or he speaks through his word only, or he speaks like this." And I was in my heart, in my mind, I was thinking, "He is God. He is the creator. He will choose how he does whatever he does. He will choose it." And we just have to say, okay, I got you. Like, I hear you. I want to hear you. He is the creator. There's no boxing him up. We can try to figure it out. We could try to do all of that. We will never be able to figure it out. We will not. And I know there are theologians out there, and they got it pretty much, pretty close in some things, but it's never going to be like close. Never. God is beyond. He can't be boxed. He can't be. There can't be a formula to God. There's no formula. So he is just the ultimate God and the creator of the universe, guys. So how does God, has God ever spoke to you? Was it a surprise if he did? Did you get surprised? Like, oh my gosh, I was a bit like taken back, especially the one that I was woken out of my sleep and I was already going to church. And I was like, what is going on with this? Like what? I was literally looking around the room. I thought somebody was playing, really believed that somebody was playing a trick on me, seriously. And I was like, that isn't someone playing a trick on me. That's God. But why? The next question was, well, but why? Why me? Why not? Why not me? Why not you? Why not? Right? Why not? He can choose to reveal himself to whoever, and whoever wants to know him as well. Whoever wants to know him as well, guys. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, as has made him known. In John 1:1, 14 and 18, if you check that out. Yes. Okay. In the beginning. So God speaks many ways, and he speaks definitely in his, through his word. Yes. God has a variety of ways to communicate with us. But there is none more foundational than through the Bible, right? That's what we just talked about. Then there's quite a few scriptures in here, so I can't read do go do all of this here on online, because it'd just be like incredibly boring probably if I did this online like that. But I can tell you this, and I want to ask you this question before I turn to the next page. What is the biggest challenge you face reading or studying God's word? What's the biggest challenge? Is it a challenge for you to study God's word, right? I can tell you this. I can tell you that, over the years, about 36 years of going to church and being in prayer meetings and being in different situations in as far as prayer and watching the Holy Spirit move in certain settings, especially doing work overseas or out of my American environment, where I have to really trust God, being out of my element, where I'm trusting God, where God has, shown himself to do miracles, right? Just crazy miracles right in front of you, you know, that are just, you could see it happening, but it's just hard for your mind to even grasp. You can't even possibly, no one can possibly even begin to understand God in his heart and his mind. No human can. We are just mere humans living a life of faith, trusting in a God of the universe that we believe in. Faith, guys, faith. And one thing we know, that there is a spiritual realm and it is moving. He is moving behind the scenes where we can't see. We may not be able to see it moving, him moving, or even the evil of this world, but nonetheless, it is there. There's wind. Can you see the wind? You can't see the wind, but you can feel the wind. You can see the movement of the wind. You can see when it blows. It blows your hair. It blows the trees. You can see it. You can see what the result of its movement does. But it itself, the wind itself, is invisible. You cannot see it, but you can see what it does. You can see the end result of what it does. Okay. Much like the Holy Spirit in the spiritual realm. And it says here, he's also our divine helper. The Holy Spirit is a helper to us, right? From the moment that we seek Jesus, we ask Jesus into our lives and accept God's grace and reconciliation and eternal life, something supernatural is born in us. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and new is here. There is really a Holy Spirit. There really is, you guys. And here are some of the different different ways of movements of the Holy Spirit. God gives us new life through his Spirit. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to, will also give life, where am I at? Okay. Also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And this is Romans 8:11, if you want to check that out. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and helps you think as God thinks. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit within? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the Word, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And that's 1 Corinthians 2:10-12. And the Holy Spirit gives you supernatural strength as well. The Holy Spirit gives you godly virtues, definitely. And some of those virtues are the fruit, what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And this is in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Then the Holy Spirit also gives you certain talents and gifts beyond your natural abilities to carry out God's purpose. And we see that activated as people like go overseas. We see that in like third world countries where you are in situations where you are out of your element to like the highest level, and you see God move. You see the Holy Spirit move. And even in America today, even through the COVID pandemic, when people thought that, you know, their whole lives were changed forever and, you know, we were not going to go back to normal, which there is a new normality. We're not probably going to go back to the normal that we know of. But even nonetheless, through all of the stress and issues, miracles are happening in America. Friends of mine who, you know, my own pastor and his wife had a baby that they were not meant to have. They had, you know, they've adopted children. You know, and they just had a baby girl. Miracle. A miracle baby girl. Other miracles happening. You know, people that they just didn't know how they were going to pay their next bill. Did not know. Called on the name of Jesus. Trusted God. And miraculously were able to pay the bill. You know, just things here in America. Things happen here in America as well. And we are seeing that more and more, and a lot of manifestations of good stuff, even when we think it is stressful and horrible, right? I don't know. Sometimes we just get into situations where, you know, under that moment of stress, it's almost maybe even a test. Like, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to believe him and his word and what he says? Are you going to really believe that he is the Father and that he is the God of the universe? That he can do all things. Okay? That he is got his eye out for you. He's watching out for you. He's your homie. He's more than a homie, guys. He is the God of all. So now we're going to go into the purpose of prayer, okay? And this all ties into all ties in together. And the thing here is, you know, I remember when I first started going to church, and, you know, again, remember I was told you that I was the young girl in the church that was like, I don't want to go with the older ladies that have kids, you know, because I was not there yet. But God met me where I was. He met me where I was. And while those girls were in the kitchen chopping the tomatoes and taking care of their kids, I was in my room praying on my knees, and God was audibly talking to me, audibly at a young, I was only just turning 20, and God was audibly talking to me, okay? And he was, you know, sharing things, revealing things to me in his word, and showing me even future things, showed me something about a young man who was in the church, and, you know, that there was suspicious behavior with him. And maybe it was just that, you know, my street smarts and growing up in a really, really, really rough environment, that I had to watch every little thing that people do. I learned to watch people because that was how I was stayed safe. I knew when to stay quiet and knew when to speak and knew when to watch the next movement of people. So maybe that was what I was dealing with. But nonetheless, it was the Spirit of God that brought to light some things that happened, that were about to happen. And I was able to intervene in prayer. And that kid actually came back to me. He had some things that he was dabbling in. And he, like, in shame, brought that to my attention. And I was like, I didn't tell him that I knew anything because, sometimes you don't need to be telling people. Let me just stop right there because some people need to hear this. I'll need to be, I don't want to point my finger like this. This is dumb. Don't do this, okay? Don't do this. This is so rude. I don't like the finger pointing. So let me put that down. I am sorry. But here's the lesson, guys, okay? From my many years of, and I'm not perfect, but this one thing I do know, do not do this to people, okay? It's an ego trip. If you just do this to people, you think you're praying for someone and you know that they maybe need some healing in a certain area. And so you want to go tell them that they need healing. You ever had someone come and tell you, I sense that the Lord is telling you that you need some healing. And then they walk away from you and you're like, okay, so now you just opened up a can of worms, and now I'm gonna go away, all feeling guilty and wondering what I need healing in. And this is going to take a while of guessing. And how do I get to the point of healing that you said that I need healing of? Well, what, how? Where do I start? Don't do that to people, please. Don't do that. That just hurts people more. So if you are not a trained counselor, if you're not a trained counselor, please do not walk up to people and tell them that they need healing and then walk away from them. And if you do tell them that they need healing, I hope that you're a trained counselor and that you are going to walk it out with them. Okay? And if you are a preacher or a coach in the church or someone that is a spiritual leader in the church, please do not walk up to people and tell them that they need healing and then walk away from them. The only time you do that or could do that is if you are their mentor and that you are going to walk it out with them. If you are going to walk it out with them and stick it out with them and take them and show them how to get to healing, then you have permission to tell them, I think you need some healing in this area. Let me walk you through that. Okay? That's a no-no. Don't do that to people, okay? That's just a little bit of a pastoral care and counseling class there. Yeah. What thoughts or new ideas do you have about prayer? How does God speak to you, right? So a lot of times we go into prayer. We go into prayer and it's just a babbling, okay? Some of us, we are filled with speaking in tongues, and we go into prayer and we're having a good time and we're speaking in tongues, but then we walk away, and I feel like God is like, I was just going to tell you something, but hold, come back, come back. And we didn't hear what he said. We didn't hear anything. We just talked because we think that that's what's making us more spiritual or connecting to God. But also, quietness, being in nature, a country hike, gardening, a little walk down the street. All of these things are connecting with God. And a lot of times, even when I'm at work, I'm like looking at life and nature. The other day I was at work and I was so like, I wanted to cry because I looked at, I know this sounds silly, it may sound silly to you, but it is not silly. I looked at the blossoms. You know how you see the trees and they lose all their leaves with the little trees with the little stick-like stems? They look like cherry blossoms. I think it is a cherry blossom, to be honest. And in the springtime, the little sticks blossom these little pretty little flowers that are like lavender purple colors, right? And I seen the very first sign of it pop open. And then the next day it was more. And I looked and I was like, oh my gosh, look at how pretty. Look at how pretty this little tree, cherry blossom tree is. It's amazing how God stops us if we stop and we listen and we hear him and we allow the beauty of nature to speak to us. It shows us things about God's heart. It's like showing us life. It's going to be okay. He's in control. Okay? He's taking care of the plants. They are sticks in dormant in the winter, and they got these beautiful blossoms in the springtime. Okay? God shows us a lot of different things. All of that is prayer. Okay? All of that is prayer. So it's not just a certain kind of formula. Yes, there's a prayer formula kind of thing in the Bible, but it did that's not it's not limited to that. Okay? There's so much more to God that we will never be able to realize. My dad used to tell me this, and I was like, thought I was this cocky Christian, and he's like, you'll learn one day that God is in everything that has to do with nature, everything. He wanted me to understand that it was not just limited to just inside of the church, just inside of a certain prayer, and just inside of a book that is called the Bible. But it is inside of the whole universe and everything that goes along with it. What thoughts or new ideas do you have about prayer? Okay, so we do understand that connecting with God in a meaning it is very meaningful. How do we connect with God in a meaningful way? And how do we do it so that it's not shallow, or that we're just babbling and speaking in tongues, or praying in words that we can understand, but we're just talking. And is there a spiritual connection when you are talking and calling it prayer? And prayer is so many different things, guys, so many different things. And here, Matthew 6, 9, and 13, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so really, this is a scripture. It has a kind of a guideline of how to pray. I know that when I pray, I am in this guideline, but there's so much to the communication with God. It's in this guideline, yes, but it isn't just exactly those words. It's my words, and it's so much more that than just that. It's more. It's in my own words. God, I worship you. I praise you. You are so holy. I'm so glad that I'm with you. Where would I be without you? I love you. I love you so much. I want to serve you. What do I do next? I want you. I want you, Jesus, right? And the next is your kingdom come, right? That's part of I want you. I want you, Jesus. What do I do next? Right? How do I live like you on earth like it is in heaven? How do I do that? And Jesus, where, how do I earn the income that I need to eat food, to have the bill, to pay the bills, to have the car, all the necessities that I have or need, right? Living in another country and being on full support as a missionary. And you are not sure where your next meal is going to come, and you have to figure that out or trust the Lord. And you learn those things. And the next is like, forgive us our debts as we forgive others. Oh, well, of course, we've all been offended in some way. We've all been hurt somehow. It may be a little hurt. It may be a cutting off on the freeway and somebody flipping you off, and really, you just really it just cut you. You just got it offended your heart. You're just like, dang, I was having a good day, and then you just like flip me off and cut me off on the freeway, and now I'm just having a bad day, right? But you have to get a hold of that. And so, like in prayer, you're just like, God, you're not just praying this formula. You're saying, God, oh my gosh, help me deal with this person that I'm offended with. Help me to deal with that. Help me to forgive these people just like you've forgiven me when I've offended you in so many things. I have to remember that I'm not always a good girl. Okay? My human nature sometimes wants to retaliate on some things, and I'm want to get gangster on some people sometimes. And God has to remind me that, there are times when I have hurt some people, and I have to remember to be gentle and kind to people so that I don't cause them to hate me, that they have to feel hurt that deep, right? From me. And lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. And that is what people forget. There is evil lurking. There I am pointing. I don't want to do that. There is evil lurking in the spiritual realm that you think isn't there. Many of us think that there's, it's just, a consequence. This is just, this just happened. Well, if you look back at all of the times when something evil happened, it was when, right at the moment when you were stepping into something new for God, or that you were trusting Him, you were having a really good day with Him. And then suddenly it's like, that saying, when it rains, it pours. You're like, where in the world did that come from? That just blindsided me. And you're like, man, I'm on top of it with my income. I got, money saved in the bank. And, I'm ready to donate this to a good cause or whatever, send it to the Ukraine. And then suddenly your car breaks down. And you're like, what in the world? Like, that's not a coincidence. Okay, that's a darkness. That's an evil spirit. And that's where we have to be aware. And that's what we do. You go into prayer, God, just help me. I just give you word. I worship you and ask you, Lord, just protect my finances. How am I going to eat? Give me wisdom and how I spend my money and where should I put it at? Forgive us, forgive me as I, as I forgive that person that cut me off on the freeway or whatever it may be. And then, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from that evilness that might make come my way to blindsight me, make me aware that there is, this is not a coincidence, that there's something that is upset about what I'm about to do, right? And so this is all just, and then Sam, it's going on, about different ways that we pray, but I already kind of went through that with you, but you could pray privately, pray regularly. This is, just like I don't just pray. I love to pray on my knees. I do. I'm traditional kind of in that way. I'm not saying I always do. Half the time I'm like half asleep and I'm, waking up in the morning and I'm like, my hair's all jacked up and I'm like, one eye open and I'm like, oh God, I just praise you. Thank you for, this good night's sleep and help me when I wake up. Help me when I go out through the day. And I'm talking to him all day long. I love God. I love everything. I praise him. And I'm at work and I'm working and I'm thinking, I'm thinking, God, you're so good. Like I'm just, I'm blessed that I just even get to be a part of the universe that you created. I'm just happy that I get to be in it. Makes me choke up. God is so good. Repent. Praise him. Always praise him. Give God praise. Be genuine. Be genuine in your prayer, guys. I used to hear people pray sometimes and there was no, like there was nothing genuine about it. You just know that because you just know that. I don't know. There's just, it's like it has to be a show of attention and with this voice that isn't even their voice and it's just talking like, like who talks like that? And it says Matthew 6:5-7, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Be authentic. Be authentic in your prayer. Praise him. Praise him. There is not enough praise. And always repent. Repent. Repent to others. Go to others and ask for forgiveness. Repent. And repent to Jesus for your issues, whatever they may be. Repent. Repent. What does that mean? I didn't know what that meant when I came to church. I was like, what the heck is rebuke and repent? Who talks like that? It just means to turn away. Don't do that no more. Or, go and apologize to say that you're not gonna do that anymore. You want to turn and change that behavior. Or rebuke is like to correct someone from their wrongdoing, like the way that you would correct maybe a child or something to say, if you do it in this way, like the way that I said, don't go to people and tell them you need healing and then walk away from them. I was correcting my audience to tell them, don't do that. That's not okay to do that to people. And if you do that, here's how you would do that. You would, if you were gonna say that, then you need to walk them through that. If you know they need healing and you're not gonna walk them through that, you need to pray for them, and give them resources. Say this, in a way that isn't going to be like, you need this. This is for you. You need this. No, this is something you can say it in this way. You can say, I found some great resources that really helped me along my journey in serving the Lord. Would you like some of these resources? I think they would be great for you. I think you would enjoy them. Give it to them and then pray for them. Okay. The other thing, the other way that we pray is that we ask. We ask. We can ask, for anything. Ask for anything. This also chokes me up too, because I'm like, I went through some things that were heavy. They were heavy. No one reached out for me. No one reached out to me for help. No one called me up on the phone and said, how are you doing with your transition from London to America? No one. Well, maybe I can't say no one, because maybe two ladies that were very very spiritual, I could say. They were true Christians, I could say. They were genuine and in their love. And I was asking the Father, how do I cope with this? How do I deal with this? What do I do? Help me through this. Help me to not be offended. Help me to look at it in a genuine way, to be real about it, but to look at it through your eyes, to see what you see. That whatever is happening is going to cause me some wisdom, and it's going to be deep wisdom. And, how do I deal with this? How do I deal with children alone that are not adult children? How do I deal that by myself? I don't know. Ask the Father, and He will help you through the biggest things that you thought He can, that you didn't even know, you never thought you'd ever face. He does not leave your side. He loves you. He loves you. It says yield. Yield is another thing. To yield means to be quiet after you have spoken to God, and to listen for what He might want to say to you. Yield to God. Are you yielding to God? I don't think we know this one. I don't think we practice this one very often. Yield to God. Are you listening for the answer? Are you hearing it out? I was in a situation where I was like in the newest situation ever, and it was new to me, and I didn't know what to do. I was not familiar with it, and I was like, what do I do? And I said, God, I need you to give me clarity. I need you to give me clarity so much so that I need you to remove one of these out of the way so that I have total clarity. And I kid you not, God revealed that, and He gave me clarity. He gave me clarity. I said, Lord, when you give me clarity, please be gentle. Please don't let it hurt me half to death, where now I have to like heal myself from it. And He did it in a way that was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, and it didn't hit me so hard, when it could have really hurt me, and it didn't hit me so hard. And He gave me some pretty good clarity, and I listened. Are you yielding to God? Are you listening after you ask that? Are you looking for the answer? Are you like, is it clear to you? He will make it absolutely 100% clear, like no shadow of a doubt. It was clear to me. What excites you? What seems daunting as you think about establishing a regular time to read the Bible and pray? It's not a daunting thing. And let me tell you this, don't let people make you feel like totally like ashamed. There's God is not shaming you if you miss a day of prayer or you miss a day of reading his word. He's not shaming you. Other people shame you. Other people will shame you, okay? And I am not here to do that. That would not be me. I don't want to do that. I don't, that is not what I'm trying to do. God is not so like uptight that he's, oh, you, shame on you, you bad kid that you didn't read today. Shame on you. He is not up in heaven doing that. I don't do that to my kids if I have not heard from them, right? When I hear from them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed you so much. I'm so excited to hear from you. Tell me about your day. Oh my gosh, tell me about that date. Oh my gosh, I want to know. Oh, what new? Oh, look at your hair. You let it, you changed the color. Same with God. Of course, he knows everything about us, but you know, he wants to be in communication with you. There's a bonding and a communication going on, guys. He's not shaming you. Get that out of your head. So we do want to have a prayer experience. Don't know how we could do that, but we can maybe be creative in doing that. When I say a prayer experience, that means that we wanted to try to meet in person. The proper way of doing it was is that you would all meet in person, and we would have some like little workbook session, and then some like getting away kind of in. I would do it at like Torrey Pines, and then you'd kind of. Have there's like a lot of it's a really beautiful garden and every there's like gardens and little nooks and crannies and little places to sit and pray up at Torrey Pines, and I would have a prayer time with you and give you a moment to go away in a little part of the campus to sit alone and to get a notebook and write stuff down and but I want to challenge you to do this. Go get a notebook and write down what the Holy Spirit is sharing with you. Okay? From time to time, you need to be doing this because, I've done this time and time again in little workshops and stuff. And, still to this day, there are people that talk about what has been written down on their notebook and how God has spoken to them. I used to do this with a women's group, and I did this with a co-ed group at my biker Bible study. And I didn't know the effect of it. I didn't know, I never knew what the, I got to a chance to teach one day. For the biker Bible study, and I did the notebook session with them to write down what the Holy Spirit shows them, and they came back to me. It was maybe a year after that that I had come back to visit the Bible study to have a little reunion with them, and. They told me, the Bible study leader had told me that session still impacts him to this day, and that he now uses that in his small group workshops. If he does a little class or a little workshop thing, he uses that notebook to write down what the Holy Spirit is showing. Them and it never fails, it always comes back. Very interesting. when people are reading that back to me, it's just like, wow, that's incredible what God is showing you. And it's stuff that you already knew was in there, but then you feel like God has okayed it. Like it's legit. Like, yeah, that was God. But before it was just dormant, like sitting around inside of you. It didn't come out where you can see it and look at it and go back and look at it again, right? There's stuff that I've written down in my notebooks where I go back and I look at it and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, that was how God spoke to me in that moment. How I didn't know what the future was going to be. But already he was already working something out. Like he was already showing me some things, but not all at once, because it would freak me out. It would freak you out if you knew all at once. There's no possible way. Okay. God is far too big in what he knows and everything that we couldn't contain if we knew it all. Okay. So with that said, that concludes number three of Rooted on the Holy Spirit and prayer and how the Holy Spirit is actually working and moving through us, especially when we are calling, when we ask Jesus to come into our heart. I mean, honestly, God is God, and he's gonna move in whatever way he wants to move and speak to us, okay? Even if we don't know him, because I didn't know him. I hadn't asked Jesus to come into my heart or anything, and I was being guided by the Holy Spirit. I knew now, as I look back, it was the Holy Spirit that was pulling me and speaking to me at times and showing me things and, keeping me from certain dangers or certain situations and things, and guiding me to whatever church that I might be in and things like that. Back then I didn't understand, to me it was just a coincidence and things, but it wasn't. It was intentional. And our lives are where they sh it should be. We are in the place where we should be. And do we get have the ability to change that around by making, choices, conscious choices that God gives us to make? Yeah, we do. But is God the great navigator? The Holy Spirit is the great navigator as well, that even when we don't make the right choices because of whatever resistance we have as a human, the Holy Spirit is well able to guide us back on the right track again, to give us opportunities. He loves us. He loves us, and he wants to be in our lives, okay? So it's not about shaming or anything. It's about love. With that said, I'm going to peace out. I love you guys. And continue to pray for Ukraine always, okay? Pray for peace and safety. Love you guys. Peace out. Bye.